Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deep in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy this message.
Well, not so long ago, none of us expected that I'd be standing here on this platform in this role. But we have to believe that it's the leading of the Lord. And I don't expect to be here for a long time, but I do expect it'll be a good time. If we've never met, Wayne Alcorn is my name. The better half is on the front row. Lynn Alcorn is there, married to me as of June 26th for 43 years. Lucky girl, right? And we pastor a church based in the southeast corner of Queensland called Hope Centre. It's got ministries in Alice Springs and Darwin that are partners of us in our Hope Centre family. And not so long ago, Pneuma Church just invited us to come and stand with you and walk with you. My job is really to make sure this church is healthy. We're going to address some things in our structures. We're going to address some things that are part of the administrative and financial aspects of this church. But most importantly, the church is God and people. And my prayer for every group of people that I lead is 3 John 2. We would that you prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. I'm believing for Pneuma, which is a great church, by the way. It's a great church. I'm already fighting for you, sticking up for you. All right, this is a great church, but I believe, honestly, God's got so much more for us. And I want to speak into that, and I want you to open your hearts. If you've got a Bible with you, we're going to look at the prophet Haggai today. All right? The book of Haggai. Every now and then, the Lord arrests me with a word for a season. And for this house, there is one word that I feel that this season will be marked by as the Holy Spirit begins something fresh in our hearts for all of us and each of us. And the word is restoration. Say restoration. As I prayed over Pneuma Church, and it's funny, as I said, I don't know how long this season will last. It won't be a few weeks. I don't think it's going to be many years. I don't even think it'll be a few years. But in this season, as I've prayed over you, the burden for this house has become strong on me, and I keep talking to Lynn about it. I said, I'm moved by the state of this church. I'm moved with a burden for you. And the Holy Spirit's been saying to me, I've already begun my work of restoration for my people. And in these moments, the Lord has taken me back to a prophet which, okay, don't judge me, I don't always read. Okay, and if you've read Haggai lately, you're probably more a Christian than I am. But I don't often go to the minor prophets, but the Lord drew me back to this little prophet. It's only 2 chapters, 38 verses in all. But 14 times the little prophet Haggai, he uses the word, "Thus says the Lord God Almighty." 14 times in 38 verses. How many know he's got a word from the Lord? He's got something that those people need to hear and his people in this moment need to hear. The book of Haggai, I would call the book of unfinished things. How many of you have got unfinished projects in your life? Okay, wives, how many husbands have got unfinished home jobs? Okay, let that marriage be healed. There's a lot of things in my life that I kind of started with enthusiasm and then, I got a whole lot of projects. And if you see Lynn, she'll keep you for an hour telling you about them all. One of them was, I grew up in Ipswich. And if you know Queensland, Ipswich is kind of where all the bogans hang out. All right, V8 boat, V8 car, GT Falcon, 351 with a Mustang gearbox. Thank you very much. GT, it flew. And yet, something in my heart, even growing up as a kid, I always wanted to own a red Mini. I know, it's weird. It's like pickles on your ice cream, right? But I wanted to own a red Mini. And lo and behold, I'm driving down the highway one day and I see on the highway, right on the side of the road, a red Mini with these words, "For sale, $600. I said, there really is a God. So I pulled up, there's a phone number. I rang the guy. I said, yeah, come on over. I go over, I look at it, it's not too bad. I said, oh yeah. He said, look, this is a great little car. It's just got one problem. It doesn't have reverse gear. I said, that can't be hard to fix. He said, nah, it's easy. Con man. Okay. So I ring a mate of mine. I said, gearbox on a Mini. He said, yeah, it's not too hard, Wayne. He said, look, what we need to do is drop the motor and the gearbox on the floor in the garage, and then we lift the whole body of the car over it and we repair it and then we put it back in. I said, what could go wrong? So I did that. And for the next 2 years, everything about this car was like pulling a thread. You'd fix one thing and find three more things wrong with it. And within a matter of a few weeks, on my mate Tomo's garage floor, there was what used to be a car, a series of nuts, bolts, and panels everywhere. And it took over 2 years, because I found with every project, you have to have a few things going for you. You have to have the money, the time, the energy, and the enthusiasm. And I could never get all of those to line up until finally we put it back together. I got it on the road. This thing was an absolute lemon. And within a couple of weeks of me getting it registered, there was on the highway a red Mini with this sign, for sale, $600. So I'm a bit of a master at slowly finishing or not finishing some projects. And so I can relate to Haggai, who had to get about a very important challenge of addressing an unfinished project, and the project was the house of God, a house that needed to be restored. And today I want to talk about his house and your house. I want to talk about unfinished plans, unfinished dreams, unfinished promises that you've made the Lord. But let's start by talking about the house. You see, in Haggai's time, 70 years of captivity in Babylon, God's people come back and they return to Jerusalem and they start rebuilding the temple. And like my project with the Mini, they started with enthusiasm and stopped. 15 years, the house of God remained unfinished. It remained nothing better than a glorified, abandoned construction site. We've all seen them. They're around town everywhere. Rubble, construction material, and weeds, and all sorts of stuff. It's just broken down and quite a sad sight to look at. Until the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Not much is known about this guy. It's thought by most Bible teachers that Haggai, by the time we are getting his readings, was an old man. He's probably old enough to have been around when Solomon's temple with all its grandeur was in place. He's probably like some of you that can remember the grand old days. Remember when it was amazing, before it was destroyed, before it went through tough times. He was there, but now God has raised him up and he has a word for the season. And I feel like God has put a word in my heart for this house for this season. Book of Haggai, we're going to open both chapters. Let's go to chapter 1, verse 2. I told you he regularly used this just so you didn't think it was just some good idea. This is God's idea. He says, this is what the Lord Almighty says. First words, these people. How many know the father is ticked? When Lynn used to say to me, those sons of yours, there's trouble in the house. Mama's not happy. Well, these boys, these girls, these children of yours. So God's really annoyed. He says, these people say, the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. But the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains in ruin? The problem with God's people in that moment is they were crippled by procrastination. One day we'll have great days again. Later, sometime, whenever. But the word of the Lord came and said, no, 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 this is the day. This is the day of restoration. And I'm here today to say to you, not only for this house, but for your house, for your marriage, for your relationship with your kids, your business that's been going through tough economic times, this is a day of restoration. This is a day for the Lord to begin new things. Can somebody say amen? There's just one priority. We need to make sure he is above it all. What did Jesus say? If you seek first the kingdom and all his righteousness, then all the other things will be added. Let's not seek the other things. Let's not even seek the peripheral things that come with church life. Let's not even seek the peripheral things that come with a move of God. Let's seek him. Can I lovingly say, let's seek him before we seek revival? Seek him and his presence. Seek first him. We prioritize him. And then the things we want, they're added. So the prophet stirs up the hearts of the people. Just like I'm sensing happening at Pneuma Church. Can I tell you something? When the word of the Lord came, when that fresh work of the Spirit came amongst God's people, they began work after 15 years of doing nothing. After 15 years of looking at that church, at the house of God, and shaking their head. After all that time, 24 days later, they started again. Bang! The project of restoration was underway. And the promise of the Lord. You know something about our God? He loves motion. Everything about God is moving. And I find that in my faith journey, to be stagnant is to be going backwards. Because this is a God that says, behold, I'm doing a new thing. His mercies are new every morning. I'm anointed with fresh oil. He's always on the move. He's always on the move. And this work of restoration, come on, get on the train. Because God's moving. Get on the spirit, get on this new phase of restoration in this house. I'm going to tell you, he's going to take us somewhere. Can somebody believe that? So that word was for them then, and it's for us now. Let's flip quickly, because I want to get on to something. Chapter 2. This is what the Lord says. Verse 6. Again, reminded, this is not some good idea. This is a God idea. This is what the Lord says. In a little while, I will once shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. Note verse 7. I will shake all nations, and what is desired by all nations? What is desired by all nations? Jesus. He's the desire of the nations. Not everybody knows that, but in their heart, that's what they're looking for. It's what they're looking for. It's who they're looking for. It's this Jesus. He will come and fill this house with his glory, says the Lord. Here's the promise. The silver is mine. The gold is mine, declares the Lord. And here's a great promise. Here's a promise to a church that this year turns 100. The glory of this present house will be what? Greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this house, I will grant peace, declares the Lord. It wasn't just for a physical structure back in the Old Testament days. This is the house that the desired of all nations will build. This is the house that Jesus will build. Matthew 16, 18. I've stood right at the point, those gates of hell, Lynn and I, in Israel, we've stood at the gates of hell, Caesarea Philippi, where Jesus made the declaration, I will build my church. The desired of all nations made that promise. The gates of hell won't be able to stand against it. I love the Message version. It says, it will be energetic and expansive. Come on. And unstoppable. That's what I want to be part of. That's what God is wanting to do for this house, in this house, and through this house. Do you believe it? The desire of all nations. He wants to build a great church. Wants to do it in new ways. The other side, I believe, of this season of restoration. So here's what he's saying. And I really felt God gave me a prophetic word for this moment in this day. Here's three things you're going to see about this house. Number one, prosperity. Prosperity is not a dirty word unless you use it for personal agendas. He said, the silver's mine, the gold is mine. I remember one time, our boys, Lynn and I led Youth Alive for the best part of 20 years. That's why I've got white hair. And I'm industrially deaf, but that's for another day. I remember one of our boys came home. We were living by faith for a long time. We led the church in our city of Ipswich. Then we, for a number of years, went full-time itinerant and, you know, traveling this country and beyond, reaching teenagers, which we did an audit a little while ago, 340,000 first-time decisions for Jesus by Aussie teens, which was pretty amazing. One of our boys came home, and we're living by faith, like seriously. One of the boys came home from school one day and said, Dad, are we rich? I said, what? He said, yeah, are we rich? I said, why would you ask that? He said, all the kids at school reckon we're rich. I'm working with teenagers. They don't make you rich. I said, why? And then they began to describe all the things that the kids at the local school were saying while we're rich. Every one of them was a miraculous provision of God. We were taking them to places as we were doing ministry. We were seeing things, experiencing things. Favor was coming our way. And I said, you know what? You go back and tell them we're stinking rich because my dad's a king. Got it, Dad. Come on. My God is Jehovah Jireh. My God is El Shaddai. My God is the God of plenty. Come on. And he says the silver is mine, the gold is mine. But he doesn't just want to give it to us for us. For God so loved the world. Here's what he wants to do. He wants to make his church so healthy and so prosperous that we've got enough to reach a lost, hurting, broken world. The mission of God is that all men might know how good he is through his son, Jesus Christ. And he wants to bless his house, not so that we've just got enough to pay the bills next week, but that we've got enough to make a difference on the planet in Jesus' name. A prospering house. I see a season of radical generosity coming. Let me be really blunt with you. Pneuma Church needs some financial miracles right now. But I believe that we serve a God who has the silver, has the gold. He's going to release it through his people, a generous spirited people who are being touched by a God of restoration, who get excited. See, every time I see a move of God amongst a people who are united in heart, I see provision flow in radical ways. Are you ready for that? That's the season of restoration we're just entering into. Then he says, oh, this is awesome. He says, you know what else you're going to see? My glory. I'm singing to the choir when I come to Pneuma Church and preach about the glory of the Lord. Hebrew word kobod means the weighty splendor of God. It's tangible. And he says this, you're going to experience something. What you've seen in the past, and name every move of God, not just the one you've experienced in recent years, the ones that have led up to the season we're in now, 100 years. I know a lot of your history. I know the C.L. Greenwood days. I know so much that has been a phenomenal pathway of the goodness and power of God. We're 100 years old this year. Lynn's mum turned 100 last September. 100. She still lives in her own house, this old girl. She's a force of nature. As 100. She's never had a birthday like the one we gave her when she turned 100. I reckon Pneuma Church deserves a big party. We're turning 100. And let's be that happy church that by the end of this year, we're going to have the best party in town. And we can talk about all the great days. We can talk about the good old days. Look at me. Talk about the good old days. Have a look. You can tell I was there. And there's been some phenomenal moves of God. But here's the promise of the Lord. Here's the promise of the God of the restoration. Whatever you've seen in the past is going to pale into insignificance because the glory of the latter house. Let me tell you, Pneuma Church, in the second century, you are moving into something greater than anything you've ever known before. Glory of the Lord. And he says, and in that place, in this restored house, I'll bring peace. How many receive that word? It's a season of peace. I don't know if you've been through them, but I've been through seasons in life where you feel like you're living in a war zone. Anybody that aspires to leadership, you need to know, you were a target. We were 27 when we were made the pastors of our first church. They prayed for us. We had a cake. It was a great day. My dad was the town drunk that found Jesus. And he became pastor. And all my life he was a pastor. And he was a rough old boy that could summarize most things into one sentence. He walks up to me and says, congratulations, mate. You're a leader now. I said, yep. He said, well, I only put you out in front to get a better shot at you. He was right. So many times I've declared, no weapon formed against me will prosper. Amen. Trouble is, you have a look at that sentence. Weapons are formed. Weapons are formed. They ultimately won't prosper, but sometimes we live in seasons where it's actually pretty painful. We come through it. This church has been through some seasons. Some things are regrettable. And the enemy's tried to stop stuff, and sadly, some of us have been used by forces of darkness, by things we've said and things we've done. How can you say that? Can I tell you, I'm not convinced that Christians can be demon-possessed, but I think they can be used by hell. Let me give you a case to show you. Ephesians 4. Get to the end of chapter 4, a magnificent book, Ephesians. First half of the book, all about who Jesus is. Second half, who we are and how we should live because of him. Ephesians 4, 26, I think. Paul writes and he says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. In other words, can I tell you something? It's okay to be ticked off. It's just not okay to stay ticked off. You will get offended on planet Earth. Okay, somebody needs to write this down. You will get offended in church. You know why you're going to get offended in church? Because there's people like you in the church. And we're going to say some things and we're going to do some things that upset each other. So don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Lynn and I literally have a fantastic marriage. I reckon it's one of the best in town. But one of the things we've agreed on is wherever possible, we're not going to go to sleep with today's offenses and issues still hanging in the air. We've had some pretty late nights, but get it sorted. Look to your neighbor and say, let's get it sorted. Because here's what it says. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Ready? Comma, and don't give place to the devil. Here's what I've discovered. I don't believe the devil has access to my life or my church except through the doors that we live open. And you know what they're left open? They are the doors that swing on the hinges of unresolved conflicts and offense. So this is a day of restoration. How do we play our part in restoration? We have sometimes courageous conversations and we ask forgiveness. We choose to forgive. We become encouragers, not judges. We demonstrate kindness. You know, kindness is one of the fruit of the Spirit. Wow, it's kind of like being like Jesus. One of the things in our ministry we say is kindness is a superpower. Could you imagine if the whole world was kind? Imagine if everyone in the church was kind, not looking at each other, making notes. The Bible says love doesn't keep a record of wrong. War. By this they'll know we're his disciples. Because we got the best LED screen and the best band in town. No. This is how they'll know. They'll know out there. Because we love for each other. Keep short accounts. That's how in this season of restoration, we're going to, as a family, move into a season of extravagant, supernatural peace. And maybe in the season past, maybe when some stuff happened in your house or this house, there's some things we need to come to a point and just bow at the foot of Jesus and say, I'm letting this go and I'm moving on, and the world begins again. This season starts now because I'm moving into a day of peace. Can you agree with that? So here's what the Lord is looking for in this season of restoration. He's looking for, just as he was in Haggai's day, he's looking for people that are holy. Holy's got nothing to do with our fashion. It's got nothing to do with the signs of our Bible. It's got all to do with what's in our heart, our hands, and our lips. The psalmist asks, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Really, it comes down to the state of my heart, cleanliness of my hands, and what's on my lips. We met in this room 10 days ago or so, and we decided for this season in Pneuma, one of our prayers would be, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable. Could you imagine what your family would be like if everyone in that family prayed that prayer every morning? What your workplace, what every gathering was. King David said, Lord, put a watch upon my lips. That word watch means like a guard. If you ever go to the MCG and watch the mighty Brisbane Lions play, if you ever go to the G or any of these major public things, they've got security guards all around because they don't want people that shouldn't be there getting into that space. That's how David prayed. He said, God, I don't want things to get out of here into that space, because words carry spirit. They bring life or they bring death. I'm going to be a life giver. I'm going to be a life giver in Jesus' name. So he's looking for that. He's looking for extravagant love, not only for him, but for his house. Love for him and his house. And so what that means is under his lordship, my time, my treasure, my talent, I bring to him, knowing that as I bring it to him, it's to be sown into what matters to him, and that's his house, his bride. And this is a season where we can't say, I love Jesus, but I've got questions about the church. The church has got issues, but let me tell you, the church is not only the bride, it's the body of Christ. And he's wanting us to be passionate about it. And I feel like I've got some credibility in speaking of this because I've watched a season of restoration. Because Lynn and I have, for 25 years, led a church in the city of Brisbane. We actually went to a church that used to be called Glad Tidings Tabernacle. Does that sound spiritual or what? Glad Tidings. It's kind of the sister church to what was Richmond AOG. Richmond Temple. You had a temple, but we had a tabernacle. By the time we arrived, the church was 70 years old. It had had significant decline of the congregation. It was in trouble. Pastor Alan Meyer used to come up and help me because I said, help me work this out. I'm a bloke that's spent the last nearly 20 years working with teenagers, and now I'm in amongst just this broken humanity in a building that was so run down, covered by graffiti, the thread was in the carpet coming loose. And we turned up. I actually thought we were going to pastor a different church, nice big church with a nice car park. And they didn't like me. I was just a youth evangelist, apparently. No criticism, really, when you think about it. So we go there. I remember Lynn and I said, Lynn, it feels like we got the second prize. But within a few weeks, God just so arrested our love for this place, and today it's a miracle. It's one of the great churches in our nation. But I remember on our first Sunday, we brought a musician with us, a guy who was fairly well known as part of our Youth Alive ministry. I said, I want you to write a song. He says, what is it about? I said, I just believe God is going to just do something new, and he's going to restore, and this church is going to get back to its greatest days. And I remember preaching my first Sunday, first week of August, nearly 25 years ago. At the end, I invited the band up, and he stepped forward, and he took the microphone, and he sung a song. We sung this song every Sunday for over 12 months. It was a prophecy. The song said, Lord, I love this house. We kept singing, Lord, I love this house. And the chorus line went, this is where the miracle begins. And you should have seen it. These people who watch the church go down, 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 watch the building fall apart, watch just dreams, and the good old days were so far back. And I watched them the first couple of weeks, Lord, I love this house. They're looking at each other. First week, one person got saved. First time in a long time. Next week, five. And they started getting saved, and the Spirit of God began to move. And before you knew it, we had a fire 4 years later because somebody didn't like me and burnt the building down, which, don't feel sad, it was one of the greatest miracles ever. True story. No, I didn't arrange it. Stop it. there are people in this room that are on our insurance for the movement. Oh, I had nothing to do with it, Your Honor. Okay, true story. By the time we're about to move, we're about to start our fifth Sunday service. Such was the move of God. But it started with a declaration, Lord, I love this house. It's not what it is, it's what it will be. Because the God of restoration is at work. And then the third thing is not only love for his house, but a hunger for his presence. And when I say that, I'm singing to the choir at Pneuma. You know that. You've got a hunger for him, a hunger for his presence. But let's not lose that. Let's not get distracted by stuff. Let's look to him. Let's lift him up. Just keep, the Bible tells me it's the hungry people that get filled. Let's stay hungry for God. Let's look up, not sideways. Let's keep running after him. Amen. When that happens, all sorts of things happen. Miracles, healings, deliverances, provision, power of God starts to move. So now's the time to expect great things for his house. But I felt stirred today. I wasn't going to share this, but as we began to minister in the East, which was a fantastic service, by the way, I felt the Lord's prompted me to not only talk about his house, but your house. Because the book of Haggai, it's kind of like, how many of you have seen some really good movies and most people get up and leave as the credits come down, but you know, because someone's told you there's something after the credits. Hunt for the Wilder People, that's what happened. So you sit there and then all of a sudden something's amazing. So Haggai is talking about what he wants to do for God's house and it's going to be amazing for all of us, but then after the credits, there comes a word for each of us. God wants to do something for your marriage, for your family. Some of you have taken a big hit in business in this environment economically. Others areas of dreams and desires and ministry. The God of restoration wants to do something for you. If you're online right now, all of our friends and all those campuses, let me speak to you for a minute. Thanks for hanging in there. God wants to do something for you. Let faith rise. This is a day for his house. This is a day for your house. Because look at what happened. Let me show you in scripture. Let me show you what he can do. Because this gets really exciting. Verse 23 of chapter 2. On that day, declares the Lord, I will take you. Now catch this. This is, you got to put the pieces together. It's going to happen real quick. I will take you, my servant Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, declares the Lord. And I will make, catch this. He didn't say, I will give you. He said, I will make you like my signet ring, for I've chosen you, declares the Lord. Now, I want you to notice this. I'm going to make you my signet ring. I'm going to make you a sign of my authority. That's what he's saying to Zerubbabel. Who's Zerubbabel? Son of Shealtiel. Now, Shealtiel is only mentioned a few times in Scripture. And in the Old Testament, he's only mentioned as the father of Zerubbabel. But in the New Testament, this is really cool. Do you know where we find him in the New Testament? In the genealogies of Jesus. Why is this significant? Why? Because, look, well, Matthew 1 says, verse 12, after the exile of Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel. Shealtiel was the father of Zerubbabel. This is important because Jeconiah, who was also known as Jehoiakim. What? How many times does scripture go, really, what? Well, we're Aussies. We know that John is also known as Jono. It's the same deal, right? Now, he was king over Judah for a short time, but he did evil in the sight of the Lord. The Lord cut him off, and he was captured by the Babylonians, and he's in prison for 36 years. And Jeremiah comes to prophesy into his evil ways. This is what he says in chapter 22. As surely as I live, declares the Lord, even if you, Jehoiakim, son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, were a signet ring on my right hand, I would still pull you off. He lost his authority, but it gets worse. He lost his legacy. And some of us fear that some stuff that's happened, some of us have listened to the lie that we are now the victims of something that our grandfather or our great uncle did. Can I tell you something? We are no longer under a curse or under the blessing because one took the cross, on the cross, all the curse, and we are now living in a new covenant. Can somebody say amen? Here's the word of the Lord, even before Jesus. This is what the Lord says. This is what was happening. He loses his legacy, this guy. Record this man as if he was childless. Whoa. Just make a note, he's childless. Even if he gets onto Ancestry DNA, just chop that off. Don't let him find him. Record him as though he's childless, a man who will not prosper in his lifetime. For none of his offspring will prosper. None of them will ever sit on the throne of David or rule over Judah. As I've already said, this guy wasn't childless. He had Shealtiel. Shealtiel had Zerubbabel. You know where we find Zerubbabel? 80 years later, governor of Judah. Living for God and building God's house. And into his life steps a prophet called Haggai, who wants to come with a word from the God of restoration. Says, you were cut off. Some things your grandfather did, you're still carrying the consequences of it. But I'm here today to tell you, I've got a message from God. Let me tell you something. He says, if you restore my house, I'll restore yours. And I will make you like my signet ring. And he's restored into the great redemption story of the kingdom. Wow. Here's what I'm here today to tell you. Your last chapter is not written yet. It's not over. It's not over. If you let the God of restoration in, if you let the Holy Spirit get to work, it is not over. Regardless of things that you regret, regardless of what did what happened to you, regardless of things that happened in your family line, he is a God who makes all things new. And Zerubbabel is restored. 500 years later, Jesus is born. And he's in the line. Heaven's signet ring, the God of restoration. The band are going to come and join me. We're going to pray for each other. We're going to pray for this house. We're going to pray for you, your business. There's an invitation of heaven today, friends, to embrace divine restoration, to be filled with his glory once more, to move on, to step away from the rubble and the brokenness and the ruin and the disappointment, the things that we used to look at, sigh, talk about what used to be, what could have been. It's time to move past that. It's time to move into a new day. Who's with me today? Would you stand with me? What is it that the Lord requires of us? To seek him. Make his house a priority. Just bow your heads for a minute. Ask for grace to restore broken relationships. Ask for forgiveness for regrettable things. Be filled again with his glory. Get ready for the great adventure. And dare I say it, I actually think it's time for us to start believing for generational blessing. I believe that what's on my house, he wants to see in greater measure on my kids and my grandkids and their kids. I believe it's going to get stronger and stronger. But we lift him up. We focus on him. Not the broken stuff. Not the disappointing stuff. So, Father, I bless your people. I thank you for this day. I thank you for this day. If you're able to, just raise your hands to heaven. It's time for us to be being filled with the Holy Ghost. It's time for fresh oil of his Spirit to be upon his people. It's time for him to help and heal. It's time for him to restore. It's time for us to take our eyes off some of the natural things that might have even caused us disillusionment. Look to him. Seek first him and his kingdom. Spirit of God, Spirit of God, we declare the glory of the latter house to be greater than the former. We declare that this house is going to move into greater things than it's ever known before. We stop and say thank you for your faithfulness. We say thank you for every good thing you've done for this place. But Father, we believe for more. We believe for even greater. We believe, Lord. So we position ourselves and ready ourselves. Create in us a clean heart. Restore a healthy soul. Lord, renew relationships. Give us a grace to move forward and build together. Lord, we declare it's a day of restoration. And I pray over every marriage today. I pray over every relationship. I pray over every family. I pray over every business. I pray over every ministry. I pray over every broken dream. I pray over every broken promise that you've made before the Lord. And I pray for restoration. I pray for a renewing of the Spirit of God. Pray that you in your house and you in this house would come into a remarkable, miraculous season led by the Holy Spirit, built from a platform of loving God and loving each other. So Holy Spirit, you're welcome. Holy Spirit, you're welcome. Just let the oil of heaven just come upon this house. The oil of joy, the renewing of His Spirit come upon this house today. Lord, we declare a new day. We declare a new day. A day of peace, a day of joy, a day of power, a day of restoration. Oh, by your Spirit, Lord, by your Spirit, you're the one who binds our brokenness. God, you're the one who sets us free. You're the one who launches us forward. So come by your power. Come, Lord, let your glory fill us. Let your glory fill us all. Some of us need again to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Some of us need to stop talking about that experience decades ago and be being filled in this day again with a new work of His Spirit. A new work of His Spirit. God, we acknowledge the Lordship of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We acknowledge Him. We acknowledge Him and we bless Him. We thank You for His work in this place. The desire of all nations, the desire of our heart. Come. Come in Your majesty. Come in Your glory. Come on, team, lead us in this song. Come on, with hands and voices raised, let's fill this place with praise.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmark.church. Thanks for listening.